It's a wonderful privilege to be here at this convention. And one of the greatest privileges is to look at you all at once and to know that you are brethren and sisters in the body of Christ. We're very happy to be associated with you as such. We want to convey to you the Christian loving greetings of your brethren in New Haven, especially Sister Veronica Driscoll, who was supposed to be here, but she had to cancel her planned at the last minute. Our discussion together may be considered as a sequel to our last year's message on the Lord God. I said then that to the Hebrews of Old Testament times, the name of the Lord God meant the revelation of His person. That's why biblical names are so important. They show their progressive conceptions of the Lord God's revelation of Himself to them. The Lord our God is a God of continual revelation. The faithful Old Testament servants and prophets were overawed as they saw and felt God's dealings with them through these revelations. Many of the Hebrew names chosen for their children were names expressing appreciation to the Lord God because of blessings and direct benefits they received from Him. Like barren Hannah, who called the name of her gift of a son, Samuel, meaning asked of God. 1 Samuel 1:20. How beautifully they interrelated their blessings with the Lord God. As they experienced His revealed will and plan for their lives, some of them coined name phrases which they use as Ebenezers, which means hitherto hath the Lord helped us. 1 Samuel 7:12. Each of these Ebenezers became lasting memorials where they could see and recall with appreciation the blessings God bestowed upon them. Some of the Old Testament name titles were supplied by God Himself as encouragement to His people in His care and presence with them. In all God's dealings with His faithful people, the Lord God was identifying with them, which enriched their lives, producing steadfast love in their hearts for Him. As a result of the blessings received, they too desired to be identified with the Lord God. Now the title, Identifying with the Lord God, describes a process or work during a lifetime of consecration to the Lord God. The word identify means to make, to be the same, to consider the same in any relation. The word identity is very similar and means sameness of essential character. It also means forgetting one's own identity in favor of unity and being identified with another. Doesn't that sound like God's advice to the church in Psalms 45, verses 10 and 11? Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, For he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. As the father of King Jesus, the Lord God is speaking to the prospective bride for his son. Hearken, O daughter. This word hearken means stop in your tracks, pay attention. Hearken is Strong's 8085. It means to hear intelligently. Consider is Strong's 7200, and it means to see. See what is involved. See what is offered. See the enormity of your reward. Incline thine ear. Incline is 5186. It means to stretch or spread out. This is the same Hebrew word David used in Psalms 86:1, and that word is bow. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. What we are learning from this is we should listen intently. God is speaking. This is a lifetime work of listening to the dictates of the Lord God. Forget thy father's house. Forget is 7911 from Strong's. It means to mislay, that is, to be oblivious of, from lack of memory or attention. And this is willful lack of memory or attention. Forget Father Adam's house. Forget our earthly associations. Forget our former hopes and ambitions. Forget and give up our perfect human life rights in favor of a heavenly life. Now, these definitions help us to understand what our title is all about. This identifying process, which started with our dedication to the Lord God, should have a spiraling effect in our lives. Each revelation of God's character should lead to a greater desire to be identified with the Lord God, to become more like him. The greater the revelation, the greater will our identification be with the Lord God. The greater our identification with the Lord God, the greater will our future revelations be. If we are faithful, eternity will be the endless process of learning about the Lord God and becoming more like him. The name title we will discuss together is Jehovah Jireh, which means Jehovah will see or provide. Genesis 22, verses 13 and 14. In this verse, Abraham called the place he offered Isaac by this name because Jehovah provided a ram sacrifice in Isaac's place. God's grace reached Abraham in Genesis 12, 1-3. In his 75th year of life, God asked Abraham to leave his country, his father's house and kindred, and go to a land he would direct him to, and promised to make him and his seed a great nation. Abraham departed at the Lord's command. Abraham's journey was interesting, but very stressful. In verses 6 to 8 of chapter 12, Abraham built an altar in Sechem and then in Bethel. After going into Egypt, he passes through Bethel and sees the altar he had built and calls upon the name of the Lord. In Genesis 13:4, in the same chapter, after Abraham separated from Lot, the Lord God again reminds him of his promise to bless him and his seed forever. And verse 18 states that Abraham built an altar unto the Lord at Hebron. Now, in all of these altars that Abraham built, he called upon the name of the Lord, but did not coin a name for any of those altars. In all this time, Abraham matured as he tried to overcome his faults and bolster his faith in the Lord God. In Genesis 15, the Lord God ratifies his covenant with Abraham and his seed because he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In the 31st chapter of Genesis, Isaac, the seed of promise and the gift of God, was born to Abraham, who was 100 years old, and to Sarah, who was 90 years old. In Genesis 22, this is about 15 years later, the Lord God severely tests Abraham's faith by asking him to offer his son of promise as a burnt sacrifice. Although Abraham, from age 75, knew God as his friend, he continued to grow in faith and received many revelations of God and his faithfulness. Each of these revelations produced a stronger identity with the Lord God. Without those 25 years of revelation identity experiences, it would have been extremely difficult for Abraham to accept this ultimate test of faith. And so it will be with the Lord's people. Whenever we have severe experiences, let us always remember that it is a vote of confidence on God's part that you can endure it. Otherwise, as Brother Penrose said, he would not allow it or send it. Abraham possessed steadfast love and faith in God, believing that Isaac, dead or alive, would be the heir to his promise. Blessed are we if we too can leave the choice of our experiences in the hands of the Lord God. It is only as we identify with the Lord God that we will be able to do this. The Lord God chose to spare Isaac's life as Abraham used the ram provided by God. We know Abraham identified with the Lord God because he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Genesis 22:14, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Abraham made up a new compound word to express his feelings toward the Lord God. And that word is Jehovah Jireh. In the King James margin, about this word Jehovah Jireh, it says, the Lord will see or provide. What a memorial. What a discovery of such a remarkable deliverance. The Lord will see or the Lord will provide. Now, to the worldly minded, there is a big difference between these two phrases. To foresee is one thing, but to provide is another. But when we deal with the Lord God, these two phrases are found to be one. The Lord God's prevision means His provision. This is what is meant by the combined name Abraham gave to the place where he found the ram provided as a substitute for Isaac. What a lesson this is for us. Because of His omnipresence and immutable attributes, the Lord God will see and or provide all of our needs. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We humans may foresee a need, yet be incapable of making provision for that need. But what the Lord God foresees, He can provide. In the King James Version, we read, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. The Revised Standard Version states, He will be seen. These thoughts become very essential as we connect them with Mount Moriah, which in the Hebrew is related to the word Jireh. Moriah is Strong's 4179. It means seeing of Jah. Jah is an abbreviation for the name Jehovah. It may be translated Jehovah seeing or the vision of Jehovah. This is a far deeper and more solemn application of Moriah than appears on the surface. In the Mount of the Lord, or on Mount Moriah, that is where Jehovah shall see, He, Jehovah, shall be seen. He was seen in His provision of a ram. The Lord God commanded the sacrifice of Isaac on Mount Moriah. The Lord God was seen in the mount. He saw Abraham's love and faith and provided a ram in Isaac's place. What the Lord God commanded, He also provided. Augustine once said, command what thou wilt, then give what thou commandest. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. And in Philippians 2:12 and 13, in part, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Abraham's faith endured many trials, many revelations, but this one on Mount Moriah was the summit of them all. Looking back in retrospect, we see this experience as a memorial of divine intervention. We see it as a mirror reflecting the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Minus any substitute for the Son of God. The Lord's people receive an incredible revelation of Jehovah's loving plan for the whole world in Abraham's mountaintop experience. How do we identify with that plan? Oh, it's a marvelous plan. It will do wonders for the people. It will be the desire of all nations when that kingdom is established. This is all very true. But that's not enough. Our new creature identifies with that plan something like this. I want to be a part of that plan. I want to be used by God in bringing the blessings to the whole world. I want to become more like the Lord God, being filled with His Spirit, so that I may become an able minister of His new covenant. I want each of my endeavors, present and future, to reflect the love of God, that all may receive a revelation of His person, that they too may be identified with Him. That this will bring glory to His name is my heart's desire. This is the first instance in Scripture where naming a place after a divine intervention is recorded. This became a common practice by Moses, Gideon, Jacob, and others. Can we, my brethren, look back over our lifetime and see how the Lord God revealed Himself to us in a special way by deliverance from temptation, assurance of sufficient grace, comfort in time of sorrow and disaster? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we too can attach a name to the milestones of God's blessings we receive, like Abraham did, and then look back on those memorials as we revive the feelings of God's love and compassion that we felt? I recall an experience I had which I would like to share with you. And that was in 1985. I entered the hospital Monday, April 4th, for prostate surgery. It wasn't by choice, it was a necessity. That Thursday, April 7th, was Memorial. And it was my heart's desire to be with the brethren for that service. The operation on Tuesday morning was very successful and painless, and I was up and around the next day. I was due to go home Friday morning. My surgeon, Dr. Elliot Brand, was Jewish. When he visited me Wednesday morning, I mentioned that our church was celebrating a religious observance very similar to the Jewish Passover. I asked him, would he please give me a pass to go to that service, and I would return a few hours later. He said, seeing this service meant so much to me, he would dismiss me a day earlier, Thursday morning. You can't imagine what a blessing that memorial service was to me. I appreciated that service as one of the finest experiences of my Christian life. While I didn't coin a name phrase because I didn't think of it back there, for that blessing, I did add it to my manner's blank page under the title Ebenezer, joining three other procedures my wife and I have had since 1976. Coining a name phrase today, I would call it Jehovah, my heart reader. Just how important is it for us to be identified with the Lord God during our present lifetime? By being identified with the Lord God, we mean by His Spirit and the revelation of His person enriching our lives as much as humanly possible, absorbing the qualities and disposition of the Lord God. This, my brethren, should lead to a crystallization of character. This process is very important. This process is indispensable to the new creature. Without this crystallization, the Lord God cannot use us in the thousand years of restitution, nor in His eternal future. In Revelation 5, 9, and 10, we read, "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made unto us and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." The spiritual kingdom of kings and priests will be God's representatives and mediator who will teach and restore man back to perfection, back to the image of God, where they may once again be identified with the Lord God. There is no way the Lord's people may represent God without understanding His mind and becoming like Him. There is no way the Lord God would allow anyone to enter His presence without God's mind and will indelibly imprinted on their being. Well, we'd like to ask the question, what is the greatest revelation that the Lord God has ever given to His people? And how should we identify with that revelation? Hebrews 1:1-3 from the New International Version. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Yes, we happily acknowledge our Lord Jesus is the exact representation of His Father. He showed us what His Father is like as we receive a glimpse of the Father's character through His life and spoken word. Because of His perfection, He gave us as much a glimpse of His Father as is possible to receive in the flesh. But even perfect Jesus could not convey to us the full impact of the Lord God, whose name is holy, who inhabits eternity, who is the fountain of love and knowledge. Only an eternity of dwelling with the Lord God will He unfold His magnificent being and divine attributes. All the Old Testament servants revealed the Lord God and identified with Him. They prophesied and spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21. Many of the prophecies they wrote, they were unable to understand because it was not due time to understand them. Daniel 12, verses 8, 9, 8, 4, 8, and 9. That due time came with the appearance of our Lord Jesus, who brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:10. So Jesus was able to say to His apostles and followers, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 13, verse 11. When Jesus symbolized His consecration at Jordan, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He received the Spirit of God without measure. Matthew 3:16 and John 3:34. Jesus refers to the Lord God as the Father of lights in James 1:17. Jesus identified with His Father by saying, "I am the light of the world." John 8, verse 12. He also taught us to identify with Him and His followers by saying, "Ye are the light of the world," and told us the purpose of the light was to let it shine in order that it may glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5, verses 4, 14 to 16. So when Philip asked Jesus, "Show us the Father," Jesus said, "He who hath seen me hath seen the Father." John 14, verses 8 and 9. So by studying Jesus' life and identifying with Him, we gradually become like Him, also like His Father, who He so fitly represents. Well, what are some of the qualities that Jesus manifested that reflected His Father's character? One of my favorite texts is Isaiah 43:42, verse 3. The text reads, "A bruised reed shall He not break, and the smoking flax shall He not quench." I think I love this text so much because I can identify with its loving message of mercy and compassion. I find myself in this condition many times. And how precious is the warmth of His love that revives me and draws me closer to Him. I know you too identify with this text. "A bruised reed shall He not break, and the smoking flax shall He not quench." These are the words of the Lord God through His servant Isaiah. This is the way the Lord God deals with His people. While the Lord God hates sin, oh, how He loves the sinner so great is his love that he gave his only son for them. John 3:16. In this text which we just quoted, Isaiah 42, from verses 1 to 4, is also a prophecy of the Son Jesus. Jesus knew this prophecy applied to him and the work he was doing because he quotes Isaiah in Matthew 12, verses 17 to 21. Jesus' ministry was one of love and compassion. These godlike qualities filled his life from start to finish. Now a reed is various kinds of tall, bamboo-like grass. Reed is strong, 70 sabin. It says a reed as erect from 70, 69, which is a prime root word, meaning to erect, that is, create. Bruise is strong, 75, 33, and means crack in pieces. This is also translated crush, discourage, oppress. This bruised reed would seem to represent Adam, who was created erect, perfect, who became crushed and oppressed by sin. As a result, his whole family inherited this bruised reed condition. Smoking flax has similar meaning. Smoking is strong, 3544, meaning feeble. Obscure, something dark. It is taken from 3543, which is a prime root word, meaning despond, give up, to grow dull. Also translated, darken, be dim, fail, restrain. Flax is strong, 6594 and 6593. It means a wick. Corded linen thread. Now, linen was used in the tabernacle arrangement for clothes for the priests and curtains. It was dyed white and always referred to as fine twined linen or fine linen. I have some vivid memories of my early youth when central heating was the way homes were kept warm. We had an oil burner with flax, or wicks, as we call them. It was my responsibility to keep the oil can that fed the wicks full with oil. My dad told me that the wicks would last indefinitely if the supply of oil was kept constant. All that was needed was trimming the wicks occasionally. There were times when I forgot to get the oil, which resulted in smoking due to the wick burning from lack of oil. These definitions and illustrations describe Father Adam's condition before and after he sinned. He was pure and sinless as God pronounced him very good. God's Spirit rested upon him as he communicated and identified with his Creator. God told Adam what the penalty for disobedience would be. Thou shalt surely die. Or in the day thou eatest thereof, dying thou shalt die. That's Genesis 2nd chapter, verse 17. Notice, no hope or future probation in that warning. Sin broke down Adam's communication with God and subjected him to the unfinished earth from his perfect Edenic home. So there they stood, Adam and Eve, bruised and smoldering as they felt the death process working in them. They could have died eternally within that 1,000-year day. It is so easy to finish off a bruised reed or a flameless smoking flax. But the Lord God's loving compassion and mercy chose to give them a ray of hope in his pronouncement of death. And that was that the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Genesis 3. And the context is from verse 14 to verse 21. This was the first instance that the Lord God extended mercy to his dying children. From this point onward, we find a never-ending stream of love and compassion and mercy flowing from the Lord God to his erring children right up to this very present moment. How do we react to the Lord's revelation of his infinite love and mercy toward us? We should try our best to be identified with him by emulating that same kind of love one to another and to the world of mankind. We should be careful not to extinguish the flickering flame in our brethren by exacting absolute justice when they fall or come short of the mark. We should extend to them the same kind of mercy and compassion we have received from the Lord God. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Psalms 103, 9 and 10. Our Lord Jesus did this very thing throughout his earthly ministry by practicing love, compassion, and mercy. He was identifying with his Father. And because of his perfection, he is the very best example we could have. It was recorded many times of Jesus that he had compassion on them. This included the sinners, the harlots, common people, tax collectors are all part of that list. He also had compassion on the very ones who were plotting to kill him by devoting some of his time to tell them of their wrong attitudes and where it would lead them. I'm sorry. I didn't know the brother was here. Let me conclude the brother by saying that in order to be identified with our Lord Jesus and his Father, we too must have the ability to forgive one another, not exacting absolute justice, showing mercy, love, and compassion. And pardon me for taking too much time. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy love for us. Thank you for the provision of your Son Jesus and all he means to us. Thank you for the love and compassion that we see in his life and the loving compassion that extends from you into our lives, and help us, Father, in our endeavors to copy him in thee, so that we may become more like thee, so that we may be used in your eternity in whatever way you see fit. Keep us in our love and forgive us for all the things we come short of, and bless our fellowship together.